In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen.
Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. I'm your host Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies they've never seen before, and we read their scripts. Except today is a all games day. I'm joined by Shane Torres and Adam Newman, and we play some Never Seen It games, but not after Shane and Adam and I do a good deal of comedy catching up and have a fun time. It's just a great episode. I think you're really going to like it. Some before and afters, some just incredible quintessential before and afters, some build the perfect movie, and then a little bit of like the newly guest game, and we have a fun time. You're going to really love it. I know you love Shane. I know you love Adam. Shane actually has a special coming out December 10th called The Blue-Eyed Mexican. It will be out on his YouTube channel as well as Bert Kreischer's YouTube channel, so he's going to get a pretty big release on that. Go find Shane Torres on Instagram. Go find Shane on YouTube and get ready. That is out, like I said, December 10th. It's going to be so funny. It's going to be incredible. Shane is just one of the funniest dudes. And thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. This is a bizarre thing for me to say and ask or even put out there. This trigeminal neuralgia that I'm dealing with is worsening and is not going great. And I'm hoping to pursue some more treatment, but I cannot I'm kind of drowning, and I can't pay for it. I can't quite afford it. As embarrassing as it sounds, I don't know. I set up a GoFundMe at GoFundMe.com/Kyle Ayers. If you want to donate there, it would help me out a ton. Even, you know, just listening to this, honestly, I appreciate a great deal. I feel incredibly self-conscious about asking. What I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and set up some live streams for comedy stuff. I invented this card game that I would like to play with comedian friends, and we're going to hopefully live stream some of those next Monday, the 11th. And those sorts of links will be sent out to the people who donate, so you can watch us basically like live play this game I invented. But GoFundMe.com/Kyle Ayers. I appreciate you guys listening. I can't not stress in a specific enough way the unfortunate nightmare this is continuing to be for me. And I don't know, people in and around my life have sort of let me know that it's okay to ask for help. So that's what I'm doing. But anyways, let's get to the podcast. I appreciate you all for listening. Thank you so much. This is Shane Torres and Adam Newman joined for All Games Day.
Yeah, I'm like literally putting it out. It's going live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Pacific, right when there's no football on.
Oh, well, that's perfect. Yeah. There you go.
The hour there's no football a week.
I was sure. My wife told me, she's like, you didn't ask him? Because I told her when I got home that I ran into a buddy that I hadn't seen forever that was putting out special. Because she's also curious about how I'm doing. And I was like, yeah, I think he's putting it out on a bigger comedian's thing. But I thought you said you're putting it out on both of your YouTubes.
Yes, I'm doing both.
I was curious because I was going to talk to Dominic. This like, do
it's going
to
break that if you keep. I'm sorry, yeah. Like that. Just
do you,
so you know.
Are you literally uploading it to both YouTube accounts?
They're doing. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Like that's.
So there's no fear of like, well, whatever. It's going to get views here.
Yeah. No, we have a big call with it tomorrow. But like, it's like I'm putting a link up in my story. You know, like, yeah, and then yeah. Like, it'll be like, and on Bert's YouTube. Like, I mean, I will do.
Yeah. It's cumulative. I mean, it's going to be getting eyes on you.
Yeah. And it's the whole thing is to like. You know, like, I'm trying to learn from Bert and do the whole thing and just be like, hey, man, teach me how to fish. Don't just shoot me. That's like one of the like philosophies of our
you did change clothes when you got here.
Yeah.
So there's a Bert-ism.
Yeah. I put on pants instead of shorts. Yeah.
The professionalism shines through.
Yeah.
It would be funny to have like something where you're next to him and you're like, I'm Bert's, like, you're not like an understudy, but you also have your shirt off and stuff. And
he's a bit of a mentor to me.
You're in a tank top. You're like not ready for the shirt off. He's a bit of a mentor to me. I have this tank top on.
I just lost my sleeves on
Thursday. I can't like I button stuff wrong. I'm like,
he's helping you.
Well, thanks for coming and hanging out.
Yeah.
One day in Austin. So it's just always fun to take two flights and
20 hours.
Oh, it was less than that.
Oh, yeah, you already did it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I just, my friends, they have this, like, this speakeasy, like a real one in Austin. It's like, it's great. But I was like, went there in between shows, and I just pounded back a bunch of mezcal and then did my second set.
Sure.
And then I was like, oh, boy. I had to do like another 40, and I just got ate a bunch of tacos and then blew up my toilet and just got an Uber at 4:30.
Dude, but I'll
tell you. I just throw it all together.
The Austin Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's my thing. To get on a plane, I just want to, as long as I can shit before I get on the plane, I'm like, this day's going to be great.
Yeah.
I would love to, if I'm going to blow it up.
I got it. Like, it's not, get it out.
No,
it's fun to say, I'm about to blow up this plane. Mm-hmm. That's a fun, they love that one.
About to blow this motherfucker up.
Be in the bathroom blowing up this airplane. Is the one by the pilots, is anyone in that one? I want to go blow it up there. I haven't turned around flighted in a while.
It's
I do this thing where now.
It's my life.
Yeah. I mean, I used to, it fucks my head up really bad, but then I'm like panicking like a babe because it hurt. So I'm just going like, it looks like I'm like seeing Final Destination visions, like on it, because I'm like holding the side. It's like,
it's just like you put the pressure from
The pressure just changes. You must be scary really bad.
Shit. Other people looking at you,
right?
Looks
that's
like
what I'm like. So then I'm like trying to hide my head over in the. It looks like I'm
thinking.
I
about
have a terrorist
it.
Plan yeah. that I am worried yeah. that might not go great because I'm just in the corner like shaking and like holding my head down a little bit. I'm like, just get to Missouri. I don't think any terrorists. I feel like that's even too sad to
is
do
it
a
even bearable? Like,
is
there a way it's bearable?
Nah, I mean, it's about, you know, it is what it is.
Did you hear about the terrorist that decided not to blow up the plane and he's like, we're just going to take it to Missouri instead?
Then he put up those three billboards?
I would call that a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
It's a terrorist attack to move to Missouri. Yeah. Just
you all live here.
On yourself.
Here we are in East St. Louis or whatever.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, that St. Louis clip is so funny.
I'm pumped to see it.
It is
know.
So funny. I mean, we're referencing the clip where Shane was doing shows with Bert Kreischer in St. Louis. And where was it?
It was
like
the
Blues
arena,
right?
Yeah. We rated. They were great. Like, a lot of these places are really great in the pro shops, and they'll just let you go in and get a bunch of shit.
Oh, so, that is cool.
Sure.
Yeah, so we went in, and I got a bunch of St. Louis Blues stuff. And Sypha, we were, like, getting ready for the show.
He's hosting the show.
Yeah, he goes, what do you want me to say when I bring you up? And I go, I just tell him I'm Tom Segura.
Yeah.
And he goes, really? And then Mark Smalls goes, no.
That's what they said the original time you did it. And you were like, say Chris Rock. And they're like, everyone's like,
Mark
don't do it.
Mark Smalls goes, no, I'll walk out and hand you a note.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
So he escalated. And then Sypha goes, he's here? And then Mark goes, yeah. And he goes, all right,
this
everybody.
On this stage.
This next, like, yes, ooh. In front of 15,000 people.
That's so 15,000 people
who
are there
and are excited.
Yeah, and asking each other what high school they went to.
Yes, yeah, pretty much. And Sypha like pumps him up. He's like, you know, I'm from your mom's house. And they all start screaming. And I'm like behind the video board. And I was like, oh, this might have been a horrible mistake.
Yeah. It's
and
not-
they go,
the funny thing is you've learned this on a smaller scale already. Like you've learned
this
lesson.
Oh, when I did it
before?
Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah,
you know,
sure,
like,
sure.
Like,
yeah. How'd the rest of your set go?
I was really rude to them, so they kind of came online after I, like, well, I come out, and they all, Chad Daniels said they harumphed back into their seats. And you just hear this woman go, well, fuck you, too.
Because I want to say, and I'm going to preface this with, like, just 1,000% sincerity, that I have always found you hilarious.
Thank
and I've
you,
never,
man.
Ever seen you not be funny, even if, like, you know, a crowd is not the best crowd at, like, a bar show in New York or something like that.
Thanks,
so,
man.
In New York, when you did this at the UCB show and Louis C.K. went first and then you said, bring me up, it's Chris Rock. And this is the first time you did this. This is, I don't know, 10 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
They Matt, almost
probably, yeah.
Yeah. I think they stood. Like, I feel like I was on later. I went to the back.
Like, they stood in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at it. Yeah. They stood.
They stood. And when you came out, smiley, and came out, like, you could hear the standing and cheering go to, like, gasps, and almost, it got, like, quiet.
Yeah, we
almost.
Call that a standing novation.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it.
And it's essentially a comedy high school walkout.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. it is a very fun thing to do, though.
Then you said, what, you guys think you're going to get, like, Louis and Chris Rock for free on a Monday night? By the way, this is way pre Louis C.K. people having their opinions.
Yeah, this was like 3 months ago.
This show never would have, like, this was independent comedy at its height. It was below a Gristetti's on the west side of Manhattan.
But it was still known as a good
amazing show.
It was like the cool assault show that maybe has ever happened.
Yeah,
like
that and Meltdown at that time. Like
yeah.
And I preface it by saying how funny I think you are, because I think, because you said that line and it got a huge laugh, and all the comedians especially loved it, but even the audience like that. But then 10-minute set, I remember you struggling to get them because they were mad at you.
Yeah, no, that's and for sure what happened.
So for you to still do it in front of 15,000 people, where to me the stakes are like, this is 15,000 people who might not know who I am that I could actually get.
But they're not going to know. The thing is, like, they don't. They're there for Bert. Like, they know who I am. The people follow me for sure.
Sure.
But I think it makes and they can even like me and like my ex. But it definitely, they will talk about, who was the guy who did the Tom Segura fake Tom?
That's absolutely true.
So that's like the point. Like, and I still do my act, you know, like, I did it something kind of similar. We were in Dallas and we were playing the American Airlines Center, which is where I used to go see Mavs games and stuff.
Yeah.
And so that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, at the end of my set, I went up to the seat I used to sit in and taped a note to the back of it.
And that is cool.
At the end of my set, I go, I got a little, like, not emotional, but like a little, like, choked up for a second. Come here. I love this place. I saw games here. And if you're like that sat out there, so when I tell you I love you, I really mean it. And they were all like cheering. And I go, and if you're sitting in like section 308, row H, seat 9, there's this note on the back of your seat. And then, like, somebody, you could just hear somebody, this group up there screaming. And I go, it's just a picture of a dick. and then I have a photo of it.
Yeah.
And the girl who got it was a smoke show.
Like, yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just says Dallas Maverdicks on it.
I love the idea of, like, doing a bit tanking the beginning of a 10-minute set is so funny to me. Because you don't have time. You're not. It's at a time like 10 years ago where you're not getting an hour every night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Stage time, tanking part of your set for a funnier bit that you'll never do again when stage time is limited is my favorite thing of all.
Risk or what's exciting in comedy.
That's what
it is.
Do you remember right after Meltdown ended, Rory ran Rabbit Hole at the same venue with Jay?
Yeah.
And I did it one night, and it was this one of the four nights I think it happened.
It was
short-lived.
They were busy golfing or whatever.
Yeah, they were very busy not wanting to be there. Two of the funniest dudes. Mm. And
Jay Larson's maybe the greatest bullshitter in comedy.
Dude, so funny.
And he's fucking pranked me on the road.
Oh, he does all
that. Oh my god, he's gotten me so good. I wish I don't want to.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
We can all share Jay Larson's story.
Yeah.
He touched my leg.
He did kill my mom.
No, yeah. There was so Acme in Minneapolis, one of the best comedy clubs ever. There was a mistake with agents or something. They double booked it. And so they were like, we'll just have you guys co-headline or whatever. Jay's been doing it longer. Adam do half an hour. Jay do 40, whatever it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so I checked into my hotel, and I hate that you already know this is a prank, but I checked into my hotel and I got up to my room, and within 5 minutes of being in my room, I got a phone call. And it was like, hey, this is Michael at the front desk. Just wanted to see how your room was. And I'm like, it's all good. Everything's great. And he goes, I don't mean to. He's like, I hate to do this, but you know, I know you're the comedian at the show. They book you under the comedian name. I wanted to know if it was cool if I picked your brain maybe before the
show
about comedy. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I mean, they're pretty good about comps. If you want to come to a show and say hey or whatever, that's cool.
You were being very nice.
I was being very nice, but I also was like trying to avoid going to get a coffee with a random guy or whatever. And he was like, are you going to have time to like maybe get a drink with me afterwards or something? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know about that. And he's like, well, do you just have any? And I was like, I'm not even famous, or I don't even have that much advice. Like, best advice anyone ever told me, you know, was just to work hard and be nice to people. Yeah. Like, that's really all I ever have.
Yeah, you're doing
everybody.
The cliche. Like, because you can't, for people who like comedy, that you can't talk to somebody about comedy who does it all the time if you don't do it.
No.
Yeah. Because you won't understand the knowledge level is different. And it's not to be a dick.
No, it's that, but like you that, just but,
and
do
that's
it.
Also a sincere piece of advice.
It's really yes. not beneficial to either of you because it's... It's the only thing time. Is to work hard and keep showing up.
Yeah.
And
in the beginning, that's all you need to be right. doing.
Anything well, you're trying to do to like circumvent go. That yeah. is probably going to be detrimental.
Right. Yeah. So I was trying to be as nice as possible. And then on the phone, he goes, it's funny you say be nice to people because the other comedian who's working the club this week just checked in and he said, you're actually kind of an asshole to people. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, Jay Larson. I was like, yeah, I know Jay. Me and Jay have always been friendly cool and stuff. He's like, yeah, he said he's cool with you. Hold on.
He's moved you into a meltdown with a fictional hotel desk clerk.
I was like, Jay said that. I was like, I've always been good with Jay. I don't know why he'd say, he goes, yeah, well, he said you guys are cool, but he's just seen you be a dick to like other comedians and other whatever. And I was like, I've never been a dick to anybody. And
this is off a flight across the country. Yeah.
And then, and it goes for like a minute. And then he goes, I'm just fucking with you. Newman is Jay. He's like, when do you want to meet in the fucking lobby and go to the hotel? I'm like, you fucking asshole. He got me so good. And then cut to like, I don't know, a year later. And, I have, we had the same agents for a while, and I got an email. This is on April 1st. This is April Fool's Day. I'm very aware it's April 1st. It goes, audition for whatever show it was. Just prepare a 2-minute a cappella song in German, okay?
Oh, my God.
And I wrote back. I wrote back to my agent. I go, like, haha, April Fool's, you know? And she called me and she goes, it's not an April Fool's. I know you think it's stupid. She goes, I think she said like Chris Gethard also was like, I'm not doing this. But if you think it's ridiculous, but really they just want you to prepare. And I was like, I don't know German. I can't sing. Like, this is bizarre. And then they had known about the Jay Larson prank because we're saying it, you know, and I told them, and I was like, can we get Jay back or whatever? And they were like, let's do it. And so all of them were like pumped to get Jay back. And so they sent Jay that audition. They like BCC'd me on it, right? They sent him that audition. And so they sent me back. So Jay wrote back like along, like, what is this shit? Like, it was a stupid audition. He's like, this is stupid. I'm not doing whatever. And then they got someone like higher up at the agency to write back and go, Jay, I know this is dumb, but a lot of people from the studio are going to be there, and we do think it's good for you to get in front of these people, so let's go ahead and just do this one or whatever. And then Jay wrote like a long, like, this is insane, like, I've done this, and this, and you want me to do whatever? And then they got an intern to write back on the thing, an intern to be like, or an assistant or something, an assistant to be like, Jay, we really think it would be good for you to go in. It was a good.
He
didn't go do the audition, but they strung him along long enough.
He took it for the
prank. Yeah,
he was just on the April 1st trip. Yeah,
and this is probably 8 years ago, so I haven't probably talked to Jay since. But I guess it's my turn to get pranked someday.
We did a CISO taping.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations!
You do have to say that as a question.
Yeah.
You must that has to be in the form.
Was it
of
all
question.
A fever dream that we shared? Yeah.
We all had a fun time making fun of CISO while it was happening, and then no one let comedians make a choice again.
Yeah.
I like to take credit for my special being the one that took it down.
Hey, way to go. Yep. They don't have comedy at Bonnaroo because of me.
that was fun.
That was because of us, maybe. Yeah, but I definitely. Oh, we did that. That was the same year we were there together.
Yeah, Shane and I were together on my 30th birthday at Bonnaroo.
That was great.
Because you said bring me up as George Carlin, and he had already died.
He actually said bring me up as Anthony Bourdain, who died that day.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh, I think about this. This is my 30th birthday at Bonnaroo. We're going to have so much fun. We're going to do mushrooms. Yep. Like
We're getting drunk out of coconut. Out of coconut.
So fun. Artists I love. Like, it's a lineup I love.
Sturgill, like, it was great stuff.
Yeah. And
I got it. Before you get to that, one of the heads of the festival was like, I'm not supposed to tell you this.
This is night one, by the way. Yeah, Thursday.
Don't tell a comedian. A comedian getting drunk out of a coconut on drugs at Bonnaroo. Don't ever say, I'm not supposed to tell you this.
But there's a secret Cage the Elephant show tonight. We're sending it out on the app.
Like, in the woods or something.
Yeah, and I go, okay. I won't tell anyone. I got to go get ready for my set. And they were great. And they were like, can't wait to watch it. And then I go up on stage like, you guys go to that secret KGL.
Was that the power hour with Gabrus?
Yeah.
They told Shane a secret before the drink booze as fast as you can for an hour show when we were already drunk.
Yeah.
Because we just got there. And he's just like, you guys
we were already drunk. We just got there. Of course we were.
Yeah. Like, you guys go on that secret Cage the Elephant show. And it's silent. And he's like, Yeah. And they were there the rest
but
of
I
the
saw,
weekend.
I saw the person in the back go like this. Then.
I'm on your, that's that person's
this
fault.
Was also the year Tom Petty had died and they had that Heartbreaker Super Jam.
Yes. The coolest thing ever.
It was great because they just had like Sheryl Crow come out.
All
and sing
of
with
the
them.
Musicians at the festival doing Tom Petty songs the whole time.
I would have been. And please this, put me up there.
The same person Sheryl Crow is singing American Girl.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is, the same person goes pretty cool, right? And I was like, yeah, I don't really give a fuck about Melissa Etheridge.
This is fucking so Lilith Fair or Bonnaroo?
It just kept getting worse and worse, dude. Like. I was blowing opportunities right.
We did a bow straddle there.
Yeah.
And Shane did stand up on bow straddle. Reggie Watts was the judge. It was like Sashir was on the show. It was so fun. And we're doing a bow straddle, and Shane comes out to do it. So you have the Guy Fieri bit, and it was a huge thing.
It was like, it was happening. It was the same year that it broke.
Yeah. And it was sort of the tag end has to do with Anthony Bourdain. Literally saying like Anthony Bourdain.
And not being complimentary.
And Anthony Bourdain died on my 30th birthday. So we woke up to many texts from the same people texting Shane, sorry, your bit is screwed. And then texting me, happy birthday. And then Shane
then
goes on stage.
We took over Karen's hotel room, too. She went and stayed with Marianne because we were gross. We were farting and shit the whole night.
We go to the bow straddle and Shane's on stage. It's going great, especially for a Bonnaroo show.
Yeah.
Especially because
this was like comedy had moved out of tents and like
into the DJ
it was
kind of
an all-purposes space. Okay. And like,
But people sometimes you'd be
to
doing
their credit,
a set.
Some people at the production company were trying really hard to keep comedy. At
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But people, you'd be doing comedy, and then people would hear a musician they like more than you and leave. You know what I mean? They'd be like, is that T-Pain or something?
Yeah.
Shane does the Guy Fieri bit on the show and then does the Anthony Bourdain tag. I don't know if it was, I think you did it. I don't think it was Muslim. I think you knew. You're like, this will be very funny.
No, I was drunk and I was like, because in my mind, it was like, they forgot you, because you have a stall set on.
Yeah, during bow straddle, there's like, eight minutes while everyone can go write a joke.
Yeah, and I was like, Marianne, the way I recall it, Marianne was like, I need someone to go up right now. Will you just do it? And I was like, yeah, of course. And I just went up and I just went into autopilot and I started the Guy Fieri bit. And then I go, Anthony Bourdain. And they go, oh,
yeah.
They were all like,
because we go, meanwhile, Anthony Bourdain looks like the kind of guy who'd be mean to dogs. He died 6 hours ago.
Yeah. And they were all like, whoa.
And these people are on mushrooms.
And I became indignant. I was like, I wrote it before yesterday.
Yeah, why? How quickly am I supposed to change that shit?
I think you said something like, oh, it's too soon just because it might be or something like
I think
that.
I did say that.
I was bombing.
Just because it might be.
And I'm just like, then I got to go back up like, all right, well, Reggie, who had a funny joke.
Who was sweet to everyone. That's
who
the
was
theme
the nicest guy to a guy named like Tibbs in the
check
audience.
Out Shane's show later, Pissing on Graves.
Shane's going to go yell about Tom Petty sucking over in the Tom Petty Memorial booth.
I did. Those were three things. And then the other thing I did, and I've never told this on, I've told this to people before. The Killers were the closing act.
Mm-hmm.
And we got access to the, like, back and everything. Like, we always, but there was, like, another, like, super back area. Where,
right, for, like, the actual people they care
for
about.
For, like, the people who were selling the tickets. And I hadn't shit all weekend. And I've been eating funnel cakes and, you know, like.
Like the gross, like
yeah,
none
yeah.
of the food.
Like state
no
fair,
sustenance.
This is basically carnies with nose rings and tattoos.
They're not
about
giving
veganism.
Us, like, massive. Yeah. We're not getting Sturgill Simpson's catering.
No, there's
backstage.
Not a lot of veggie trays.
Yeah, they were
Bonnaroo.
Great. It was still a great event.
Oh, my God, it was the most fun.
But it was one of these things of, like, I hadn't shit and I was just so backed up. And then, like, right before the Killer show, I was like, I got to brick it. And I just went looking for, like, a decent bathroom. And I'd found a trailer that was open. And I bombed this toilet. And, like, a half hour later, I was standing out. And I just saw a couple of the Killers walking out of there. Like,
that's the place to do it. I think that's a perfect
like
place to
found the Obama sleeping.
They're no longer religious.
Yeah.
Look, try and look on the bright side. They hit a guy.
Turn the other cheek or whatever.
It was so
I
great,
wish I
though.
Knew a Killer song well enough to parody it with a poop thing
oh,
right
Mr.
now.
Oh, Mr. Brightside? That's the only one. Yeah.
I don't know any of them.
Or Smile Like You Mean It?
Smell Like You Mean It.
I don't
like
know the real it. One, but I bet that's great.
Oh, man. Well, they're good.
The yeah.
I think
they write fun dancey pop songs.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, that was so much fun.
It was a blast, man.
Good time.
I still do a fair amount of festival stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Actually,
I got to get those. I got no reps anymore. So I just sit at home doing shit. But holy shit, I would love to. I love the festivals.
But that was like a special like.
That was a treat.
It was so wild. It was really funny.
That was the kind of thing you dream about getting to do.
I remember we were walking around with Gabrus and someone came up and said they bought a ticket to Bonnaroo to see him.
Oh,
and he goes,
God.
Why?
No, he's like, isn't this like $1,000?
He's like walking around with a collared shirt unbuttoned all weekend.
Yeah.
Like, it was like you like and me, Gabrus, Janelle. Like,
Sashir. Yeah.
There were so many great people.
The guy from Workaholics, Adam Devine.
And then you just all of a sudden you just see like Chance the Rapper on a dirt bike.
Right. He's not even on the festival.
And you're like, what is happening?
Couldn't believe it.
The closest I got to do is when I was 19, my band played Warp Tour.
That's pretty good.
And
what was the name of your band?
We were called No Cigar out of Atlanta, as in close but no cigar. Everybody thought it was a reference to a Mellon Collins song, but it was not. But
could be.
The coolest thing that happened for me there was I was backing up like where all the buses were. And I was like saying bye. I was like, all right, I'll see you next time. And as I turned around, and I'm a skinny dude, I just like plowed into a dude who went down, and he was wearing a suit. And I was, and it was the singer for the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. And I was like, sorry
not
about
so
that.
So double mighty now, are you, sir? I went to Warped Tour after eighth grade, mm-hmm. before freshman year, in the summer when it's my birthday in June. Went to Warped Tour and. It was like everyone was having a good, you know, it's like that's like Warped Tour's like peak.
When I was
in like eighth grade. And one of us found a backstage pass for a photographer on the ground.
Nice.
And went backstage and then slipped it through the fence to one of us. And we just did the slip to go one at a time backstage.
Yeah.
And
five people on the same photography
pass. Five people
no camera.
On the same photography. No, the person who kept it on like held their like
disposable
camera to try and like be like, we're 12.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But they don't, you know, so we're walking around and then Andrew WK.
Who, by the way. There. My favorite of that whole tour, like I was obsessed with Andrew. I'm sorry, I got excited.
No,
in the middle of the story, I got so excited.
That's
when
okay.
He said WK.
Yeah, no, he's great.
I had an all female Andrew WK cover band play my
what was their name?
After party, Girls Own Love. Girls Own Love is.
Did they do the whole like bloody nose, white shirt?
They did. Yeah, they did. They did. They did the make with it, but they played my.
I mean,
after
it's an
all time
great album cover.
Yeah,
that just like straight bloody nose. So Andrew WK just sees a group of like kids walking around, and he goes. You guys like Shasta? he's in the white on white.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Never
the white
seen
on white.
Anything
and
else.
And I'm like, what? He's like, I just have a lot of Shasta. And so this is like, if he wasn't a completely earnest, normal. And so then we go to his like trailer, but you know, with like the awning, and he just gives us all a bunch of soda, tons of Shastas. And he's like, do you guys want to come dance on stage during my set? And we're like, yes. So we're all nervous, and he plays.
So he's just being like a fucking weirdo. That
I mean,
he is.
I think he's just like it would be hilarious to have like teenagers like moshing on stage.
Yeah,
and these teenagers probably are under control because they're back here.
Yeah,
and he like signs my shirt and like everything. And we go up and I'm a little afraid, but kind of like do the solo moshing off and on during a set and everything. And then we're hanging out for a long time afterwards, just like backstage, like seeing like the Used and all. You know, but just.
The
nervous.
Bands of that
super,
era.
Super, super nervous. And then realized some of our friends left with the one older sibling who drove. So me and my friend are still there and our friends have left. And this is in bumfuck Kansas. I'm like a 50-minute drive from my parents' house. And
this is not cell phone time.
No cell phone. This is like 2000. And maybe this is like 2001 or 2002.
It is. NWK. I believe Newfound
it would have been
Glory
summer
of
2002.
That's the year I did it. Yeah.
And Newfound Glory. Mm-hmm. And then Andrew WK is like, we're like, oh, we got to figure out how to get home. And Andrew WK is like, we'll give you a ride. We're going to St. Louis. And we're like waiting on the bus. And then some guy who I assume is like his tour manager goes, who are you two? And we're like, oh, I'm Kyle, I'm Jimmy. Andrew WK said he'd give us a ride home. And the guy goes, yeah, we can't give two kids a ride home. Just two kids. Sorry. And then he gave us like $100 and hooked us up with a cab guy to take us home.
Really?
But he was. And he was just like literally like, yeah, we can't just take two kids on the bus.
We can't traffic children across the state.
He's like, if you need this, you need to get home. And so we get in
So he did have a solution. So
he did. It wasn't just like, I can't. But he's obviously like, my client can't look more like a pedophile. So
everything I've ever known from
money.
Him. And I've had multiple experiences with him. And in New York, he was running around doing shows for a long time. Like more like pumping people up kind of stuff. But nicest guy in the world.
I think he was just completely earnest and nice. We get in this cab. This is the first time I've ever been in a cab, and we're telling the cab driver about the festival or whatever, you know. And this is just a yellow, you know, you call him. Thankfully, it's at a music place, so it's easy, but it's a long drive. And he's like, we're like, we have $100. And he's like, it would have been more than that, but that's fine. Because this is probably a, this is a long cross state line private car ride.
This is an hour.
Yeah.
It would have been more, but that's fine.
I mean, it was probably would have been like 45, but he knew he could
just fucking the guy, run into the ground.
In the middle of the drive, the guy goes, I like music too. It's like quiet. And we're like, okay. And he goes, take a look at this. And he takes a Bible out of his glove box and tosses it back to us. And we're like, okay. And he goes, open it. And inside of his Bible is something. It says like the was like the King James Bible, whatever edition.
Yeah.
And then it says written by Steven Tyler. He had Steven Tyler from Aerosmith autograph his Bible. And that's what Steven Tyler wrote, which is a funny inscription.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, one time I saw Steven Tyler and all I had on me was a pen and a Bible.
I went to his front door, even like, though it said no soliciting.
That's what he never like. When is that? When are you around him with just that?
That's a.
But I mean, it's a fun. It's a
aside. Well, that's like that Step Brothers joke, and in that movie when he goes, he pulls out a ninja sword and he goes, pretty recognizable signature, Randy Jackson. Yeah. And he goes, "That's all I had on me, and I'm not gonna not get Randy Jackson."
That's exactly what this was.
Yeah.
I like music too. Here's my Aerosmith autographed Bible. That's how you know I like I like the thing everyone likes.
Dude looks like a lady. John 3:16.
All right.
Jesus looks like a lady. Yeah. I don't know.
Jude looks like a lady.
There it is.
However, I'm going J-U-D-E spelling. All right, we gotta play some Never Seen It games. We're gonna take.
Oh, I just want to play Aerosmith Bible puns forever. Jesus has a gun.
Walk this way. Parentheses on water.
I wish I knew more Bible
Armageddon
stuff
right song.
Now. Armageddon. Right. I know that. the song from Plague. Yeah. I mean, what are we, a Dream On? There's probably something.
Yeah, there's got to be there, yeah.
That's the one I'll cut out.
God. Permanent Vacation to Hell. All right.
Well, here we're going to play if you've never seen a game, so I'm going to leave it out. I think that's fun to talk about.
Yeah, edit out the permanent.
This first game we're going to play is called Before and Afters. I drew on it with a marker on accident. Or a pen, and then I tried to wipe the pen off and it stopped the button. How this game works is two movies have been smushed together into one. I'll read you the smushed together plot. You two have to guess the smushed together title. So some answers, like if you look here, we have Three Stooges outside Ebbing, Missouri. That could be one right there. I'm getting a phone call.
That's that's three billboards.
Three Stooges and three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, pushed together. Wolf of Wally Street, Saving Private Silverman, Fargo would be Argo and Fargo.
That's a little.
If you think that one sucks, wait till The Game. That's the permanent example.
I would be mad if that was... That's my best one.
Well, I mean, it's the reason it made it into the examples.
Yeah.
So I have some here. You get points based on how much of it you get. You can work together. Or you can compete against each other. Whatever you'd like to do. And some
can
of
we
these
decide
were,
or just
yeah.
No. Yeah, I mean,
or is it like a blood atonement?
Everyone always wants to work together until one person gets one on their own. And then it's a real it's a real boomer energy after that, where it's like, I got mine.
Well, I'm going to call you a bastard now.
All right.
Here we go. First one.
You bastard.
A concierge at an elegant hotel attempts to rein in an orangutan who is staying there with the hopes of infiltrating a rich man's dreams to plant an idea.
I think I can get this one. If we want to work together, we can start naming movies we think it is.
With the
second one, Implant Dreams, is that going to be the...
Inception,
yeah.
Yeah.
But the monkey.
I'm like... Is there like... What's the Wes Anderson dumb movie?
I was thinking that too. Budapest Hotel? No.
No monkey.
I thought you said... Didn't you say orangutan?
Orangutan.
Or
All right. Well, that's, you know what we meant.
Yeah. Sorry for being sorry. So fucking vague.
Why do you have a podcast when you're clearly a zoologist?
It's not a monkey.
It's a crossover.
All right. So what's
a concierge at an elegant hotel attempts to rein in an orangutan who is staying there with the hopes of infiltrating a rich man's dreams to plant an idea.
So is it like Grand Budapest Hotel?
No.
It's not that. Okay.
Is it? It's not like an Albert Brooks movie, is it?
It's a stupid 90s movie.
All right, well, let's try to... What can we do with Inception?
Who's the lead in the... in
the monkey movie?
Is it the...
It is a monkey now. Fucking orangutan! Oh, how'd that feel? Fucking prick.
There's a perfect.
I don't know an orangutan. Is it orangutan or tan?
Faye Dunaway and Jason Alexander and Paul Rubens are three of the leads.
It's not a Pee Wee movie. I don't...
This isn't the... That movie where Brendan Fraser teaches a monkey to throw a baseball. Is that a movie?
No. I don't know.
Probably sounds like a dude from Friends. There's a monkey movie, but it's not an orangutan.
All right, guys.
Is it Inception for the second one?
Yes.
Then, man.
Guys, we are looking for Dunstan Checks Inception.
I never would have got that first.
Dunstan Checks Inception. The energy has left the room.
If I would have known the first movie, I would have put that together.
Dunst.
I like, man, if I'd known the answer... I would have put that together.
If I'd just been a bigger fan of Jason Alexander and Faye Dunaway.
Dude, story of my fucking life. All right, next one. A reclusive, morbidly obese English professor tries to restore his relationship with his teenage daughter after they deserted Earth, leaving behind a small robot to clean up the trash.
That would be the Whale-E.
The Whale-E is correct.
Yeah. All right. I started saying it, but then you snuck it. You got it in quicker.
Yeah. Four points.
I was like, that would be. I didn't say that. I just said Whaley.
Yeah.
4 points for Shane. 1 point.
I had a buildup. That would be. But I just got time
for that. That was the problem.
I've never seen either of them.
Me neither.
Wally's good. I don't think I saw the whale.
Wally Street.
It's just like that's a lot of. That means their marketing's working, though, if I never saw it and I knew what they were both about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, remember, marketing department.
The whale really got, I mean, the Fraser comeback really pushed. You got the whale was everywhere.
Yeah.
I still want to see the whale, even though I've heard all sorts of weird mixed things about it. But I'm curious.
It's Aronofsky, right?
Probably. Yeah. Wait, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next one. A cyborg assassin disguised as a human travels back in time to kill a woman but is denied entry into the United States and must live at the airport.
Terminator roll.
The Terminator roll is correct. Also would have accepted the Terminalinator.
Yeah. Terminal urinalinator.
Current score. 5 for Shane.
I wasn't even trying to think of a pun. I was just saying. I can combine our points. I'm okay with it.
I already did.
Terminal.
The Terminalinator.
Terminator roll.
That was going to be the one on the board, but it was too long. Yeah. Like for one line. Terminalinator didn't fit on one line.
Terminator roll? Terminator later.
Next one. A Norse teenager befriends an injured dragon, and the two must use all sorts of forms of transportation to try and get home for the holidays.
Planes, trains, and automobiles, and how to ride a how to train your dragon in automobile. And planes.
I'll take that.
Planes and how to train your dragon.
How to planes, trains, and automobiles your dragon.
How to planes, trains. Okay. Yeah.
Current 8-8.
I have no idea how you keep score.
I just write some down before I even ask the question usually.
Attaboy.
A newly engaged man tries to foster a male friendship with a fellow Rush fan, but the two end up getting sewn together by a sadistic mad doctor.
Okay, I don't know what the Rush one is, but I know the other one is Human Centipede.
Oh, then that's the other one is I Love You, Man.
I love you, man, centipede. You, man, centipede is correct.
That's a good combo because
I had the assist on that.
Yeah.
All right, 11-10. I gotta label whose points are whose. I haven't yet.
I love you, man.
These like a lot of these titles were actually written by fans on the Discord. Before we move on, I want to give a shout out to them. Bogdoot, Masubi, Scott's Alive, Bubs, thanks for some of the titles. And I just throw some plots in there and we have a good time. If you want to submit
these
titles.
These are the names of your listeners.
These are the people. Well, on Discord, you don't put your real name, I don't think.
I've never been on Discord.
It's like a big message board.
Is it like Reddit?
I don't really know. It's just like a message, you know, there's just like fans of the show hang out, and I got a little robot they can play the game against, like before and afters on there. And then talk about the
episodes. Is what we're doing right now considered squad goals?
I think this is just, I was listening to NPR today, and they, on the way here actually, and they told you the word of the year is Riz.
Oh.
And I think one of my favorite things about NPR, this is, I've tried so many times to make this into like a character. And no one, NPR will tell you two of the most horrific stories you've ever heard and then try and be nice to like make it. Like, you know what I mean? They're like 2,000 children killed in Palestine this morning from tear gas laced with bullets. And Donald Trump is actually going to run again in the Electoral College. It's going to help him win. Oh, and did you know? Hey, how about this? Riz is the word of the year. Like every single time.
You have a convincing voice for NPR because you have a very nice.
But it's always just like, it'll be the most horrific thing. And then it'll be like, oh, hey, how about this? We showed the movie Independence Day to a duck. Yeah, like you just little bit.
Now it won't swim or fly.
Right. They're like, hey, did you know Children of Men is coming true and humans can no longer recreate? And everyone's going blind from a mysterious thing called Oxygen 3. And oh, hey, how about this? Some dogs do like apples.
All right, everyone, we'll see you tomorrow.
It's always like, yeah, but
I am Astra Chastavati.
Right. And then it's just like a white woman.
Yeah, yeah. It is very, no, you're 100%.
It's just so every, because, and I was listening today, like, what's the third one going to be? Because they're talking about, like, you know, the ceasefire ending. And then they're talking about, like, Trump has this massive lead, even though he's not going to be doing the debates. And then they literally go, oh, how about this? The word of the year, Riz. What do you know? Like, do you not also react to the first stories?
If you were talking about slang and not using the slang, you have aged out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you.
Yeah. Of being around it. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that they
like, know that. Don't report on it.
It's so, the story about it, they're like,
you chewy,
you know, some linguists say that's Riz came from charisma.
Yeah.
And it came off of an app called TikTok.
Oh my God.
Like, you don't have to refer to, if you're referring to it as an app, instead of just saying it came from TikTok.
Yeah.
And we're recording very these much so, on yeah, some like, things it's like called a mic.
You're verbally announcing how removed you are from what you're reporting.
Yeah. Right. Like, if you're just
unintentionally,
like,
yeah.
And they talk to a young actor, a performing arts actor named Timothy Chalamet. Like, just say Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
If you have to present this thing everyone knows about as what it is, it's not what you should be talking about.
It's wild. Yeah. And it's like, the phrase serving cunt, have you heard? This is like a...
Only at a brunch place.
They're fucking... It's like I think it means like you're like, you look hot or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you're like
a, oh, yeah. I wouldn't have even known
that. Horrific sounding to me.
You sure, know,
like,
sure.
Like, truly, like, truly good.
Yeah.
But like, look at this little... In my mind, it's like, oh, well, someone's being a real asshole.
Yeah, serving cunt is either like... reappropriating a vulgar word. See, here I am talking about the thing. So obviously
we're all doing it now. Like,
let's just reappropriating a vulgar word to be a good thing, or from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
like those are the two things it could possibly be.
I was gonna say, or Jeffrey Dahmer's.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure that's what Arya did.
Like, I gotta put my brand on some. Snatch.
That is a Deadwood. That is a Deadwood sounding phrase. Yeah. Fucking serve cunt.
Serve cunt to these fucking cocksuckers.
What's that? That in the first episode, they're just like, I gotta put my brand on some snatch. Kids are gonna start saying shit like that.
Well, brand on snatch is actually a TikTok shop. Where you
TikTok
can buy stickers.
An app. So for social media.
An app is an online.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Snatch was the app, you got to get your brand on it.
Snatch.
All right. We got a couple more. Man.
Back in my day, but Snatch that always, was a Brad Pitt movie.
I have thought frequently about just, you know how people just do reoccurring bit care. I'm like, that NPR thing I think about every day.
You should just do
I'll just start doing it.
You had like four examples right there. Because
every
that
single,
are all
I think
great.
About it every time I'm listening to it, it is exactly the same thing. And they'll be like, you know, we're doing a fundraiser because everyone who worked here died. this is crazy. Some light bulbs are green. You're like, what are you fucking, what is, they, because they do need to have like a nice story at the end because it's, the news
next.
Isn't.
It's perfect.
The reason all the bees are dying, we found out, and it's worse than you ever could have imagined. Also, John Cougar Mellencamp back 50 years later.
Put in the Cougar in Mellencamp.
Why was he sucking on a chili dog? We're going to find out.
That was one of my favorite Hard Times headlines ever just said. John Cougar Mellencamp tells us what sucking down a chili dog is, and it's more horrifying.
I saw a montage of every YouTube. People went through like 100 YouTube covers of the song and just cut out sucking on chili dog. There's and a, just put it sucking on chili dog, sucking on chili dog. 100 random people covering the song.
There's a dude who did a cover where all the lyrics are sucking on chili dog. It's great. It's wonderful.
I used to live by a Tasty Freeze in Atwater. There's okay. Like, I'm just like, the, I'm like looking at, I'm like, they got to know. And they like sell chili dogs. I'm like, fuck, they got to know.
They got to.
Oh, dude. I was thinking about, speaking of like youthful slang though, I was like, talk about this. Like my nephew, like might think that like Argo and Casablanca were made around the same time. You know, like, like that. That's
right.
Like,
I mean, cause there's a lot of people who like Casablanca and, I don't know, like, The Godfather are around the same time, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not.
No, they're not.
They're
all.
Like the same distance from The Godfather to Titanic.
Yeah, oh, it's like, God. It's like, we're getting like, we're like planets that are getting further and further apart and away from
it's
the sun.
Like when an exponential curve gets really close to the line and never touches it. And you're like, well, but it's everything's here. These are very much the similar thing. You're like, actually, that's a million years apart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have no idea what you're
doing. Yeah, it is. But what are we in 2023? So Titanic's 25 years old.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then 25 years before that, Star Wars. It is wild.
Yeah. Well, no, I was in my hotel room the other day and Big Daddy was just on. And I was like, oh. And I was like, it's a 20-year-old film.
Which we consider like a newer Sandler movie.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, that's one of his like last of that era of him.
Yeah.
But you do see like, I saw a picture of him with the kid from Billy Madison who was like his friend in school. You know, the little kid with like the kind of longer hair.
Yeah.
And that kid is our age.
Yeah.
And just taking a picture with Adam Sandler. And I'm just like, well, that seems not allowed.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I remember Adam Sandler's first football movie, The Waterboy. Right. Yeah. He's gone on to do other.
He's
done pretty much every sport.
Yeah.
Veronica Vaughn is 78 years old.
So this is Veronica Vaughn now.
A guy known her got it. R.I.P. to
whatever happened to that? Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I love fucking Chris Farley so much.
He's so funny, man.
Eh. No, I'd get the worst, the most insane.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you,
I got in this. Well,
you're
I didn't
just
even
like you get real negative. You're like, yeah, if you're like tragically obese drug addict.
Chris didn't go that far, Lee. sorry, it's a before, during, and just right after. Okay, we got a couple more. We're still in this game.
I love it.
Oh, okay. We're punning.
The button didn't work.
Yeah, I watched you. I saw your present. Get
ready to play. I broke it with the pen. And all right, we did that. Here we go. After becoming ill, an elderly man's son travels to be with him and listens to his tall tales about his life, including his wedding involving a Greek woman and her extravagant family.
Okay. Oh. Is this big my, fish in my big in fat fact, Greek?
Yeah. It's a big my big fat Greek fish wedding.
That is correct. I love the litmus test. There is where you put fish.
Yeah, that's right there. My big fish fat fucking wedding.
What is it? Fish Greek wedding.
I got my big fish Greek wedding written down.
My big Greek fish wedding. I like it.
My big fat Greek fish wedding.
I think that's what I'm
saying. That sounds like a slur. Look at this Greek fish.
Look at this big fat Greek fish wedding.
Yeah. Coming in here serving all that cunt. Big
feta.
Dude, the riz on that Greek fish.
Wait, what is riz, by the way? I don't
charisma.
Know.
Charisma.
That's all it is.
That guy's got a bunch of riz. It's like if it's charisma, but if you're wearing baggy pants again.
Yeah, but not like the way we wore them, but like the way Pete Davidson wears them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like cool.
Like Timothy Chalamet riz.
Yeah. No one wants to see a 40-year-old put JNCOs back on.
Well,
I don't know.
This derails it all more than Chris Farley.
It's kind of nice.
I got one more here.
The Joker patch make a comeback.
Pete Davidson just went through the dressing room and put Chris Farley's old pants on.
They kept him there.
Yeah, and that's why he looks so fucking cool.
They kept his pants.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Farley used to do that, right? With the
yeah, he wore pants.
No, he would put on Jesus Christ,
Superstar.
Put on like David Spade's shit.
Yeah. No.
Joke.
Why am I? Belushi, he put on Belushi's like old costume pants and stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel cursed. All right. Final one.
Next.
This one is the biggest stretch of any of them.
A buff secret spy must track down Nukes while patching up his marriage with his wife, who doesn't know he is a spy or that he is unable to say anything that isn't completely the truth.
Lies,
true
liar.
Lies or liar.
True Lies or Liar is correct. Wow. I guess I don't know the plot to True Lies as well as everybody
else.
Well,
you said jacked undercover, and we all know he's whatever.
His wife, yeah.
I've never seen True Lies. Oh. I looked it up for that one in particular.
True Lies is great.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Is it better or worse than Liar, Liar?
Liar, Liar I really enjoyed.
I've rewatched Liar, Liar recently, and it's the same joke every time, but it's a good joke.
I mean, if you get the right person for that vehicle, there's The Invention of Lying. But then there's also Jim Carrey's movie called Yes Man, where he has to say yes to everything.
Right, that's what I was thinking of. I didn't even realize it was another Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah.
Man, well, he inverted it.
For a decade, he was putting the Carrey in Hollywood because he was carrying all those movies and pouring blood on people at prom. All right. Let's start the recording.
That was just a high five. That wasn't
that was the clap to sync the video. all right, we got a different game we're going to play. This is called the Newly Guessed Game. I know you've both been on the podcast before, but I want to try a new version of this. So what's going to happen is Adam's going to leave the room. I'm going to ask Shane to answer a few questions. Adam's going to come back in and answer what he thinks Shane answered on those questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like, it's like the Newlywed Game.
But no, this is called Newly Guessed Game. Totally
right.
Separate.
Right, I came up with the title separate.
No way of infringing on any
So Adam, if you want to go ahead and leave the room, this will be a quick in here. This is probably a good time for a break, too. I'll ask Adam, he'll answer, and then you hold up and say your answer.
Okay.
I was out there and I read a thing that they're making a new Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a movie related thing.
You think they'll have a joke about the amp volume?
I hope so. I don't want to change it. I got a tattoo of it, I don't want to change it.
All right.
You got a tattoo of that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
My nipple goes to 11. Guess when I got it? Fucking like 3 months ago. I'm out.
This is the Newly Guessed Game. How this works is I asked Shane four questions. I will ask you, Adam, to answer what you think Shane answered about himself.
Yeah.
All right. Our first one was
about himself.
I said, "Hey Shane, what's your this? What's this?" So you have to. This is going to show how well you know Shane.
A guy that I like a lot, but have known casually and haven't seen in 8-9 years.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is the true test of friendship.
I feel like I got a good gauge of your vibe.
I think. Yeah.
That's very good. Take me in the decade. Yeah.
All right. So question number one: what did Shane say is his favorite movie?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well. I'm trying to think of the movies we've just talked. I have a little gauge of movies you've.
You know what? I will let you know. It has come up on the podcast. I'll give you a little hint.
Jeez. I mean, I don't even get any hint of like what kind of movies you like.
No.
Your favorite movie ever.
Just to see how well you listened.
Ghostbusters.
No.
Ghostbusters, it is. What is it?
It is True Lies, Liar, Liar.
close.
All right. Well, now I know.
That was a good paper drop.
Yeah, that was.
I've been practicing.
Next one. What is the last movie Shane did or considered walking out of?
What movie? The Whale.
No.
Oh, this is closer than you might think, though.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Shane said.
It's pretty good, honestly. Aquaman on Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like this upcoming Christmas?
Yeah.
This one, no, like when it came
out. Oh, okay.
Because
I think the second one's about to come. Like you're already considered walking out of the second one.
I thought the
movie
was called Aquaman on Christmas.
Guys, the lights went out again. That's Aquaman because the electricity doesn't work. All right. What is a movie Shane considers overrated?
Overrated movie.
You got this one. Just think about it for a really long time.
Okay. The Matrix.
Nope.
Ooh, Shane just said.
The Irish one. The Scorsese movie.
The Irishman.
Oh, yeah.
The Irishman.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I
blew my perfect streak.
I haven't seen it, but I do. I think Irish people are overrated.
Oh, thanks.
Are you Irish?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So is my Torres. Wife.
Yeah. Well, so is your wife?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Deirdre. Come on.
I dated a Deirdre.
Really?
Yeah. Is she a... What's her last name now?
Her last name is still Mangan, which I can say because...
Hold on.
No, you didn't.
No.
She promised me she'd never dated a comedian.
Well, I'm more of an artist.
I dated a humorist.
Yeah.
I like humorists because they don't have to be funny, but they do a write humitarian. A lot. A jokitarian.
A humus. Yeah.
A clinic college.
I was a Bushwick joke laureate.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. They have a zine for that.
Yeah. Final question. What did Shane say is the movie character he most closely identifies with?
I think we'll go back to this is probably also not the liar one, the fucking first one from the pun.
No,
and I wasn't gonna say that one.
No,
Shrek.
Oh no.
Oh, that's you know what? As soon as I said it, I thought that sounded mean. And I didn't mean for it to sound mean. I didn't. I mean for that.
Well, you
sound
know,
mean.
It was supposed to be Farley originally.
I do know that. Yeah.
What happened?
They wanted a Scottish accent.
Mike Myers was just too good at it.
Yeah.
No.
That is Mike Myers, right?
Shrek, because you have a donkey. That's why I said Shrek.
No, I wrote Bradley Cooper and Burnt. And there's a penis.
And there's a penis, yeah.
If you're sitting in my seat.
This is not, or 2 for 4.
Tip for two, if you will.
Thank you. Bradley Cooper in Burnt.
I got to say, that was the hardest game I've played on this show.
Yeah, at 5 points each.
Okay, good. Nice, right it's there, buddy.
20 to 20. I guess I just could just add none if you both got the same amount, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't. It's 20 to 20. We're going into our final game. Yes. I don't have these labeled, these buttons.
I can tell you hit every, you're like playing a game of Simon.
This final game is called Bop It. What you need to do is twist it and pull it. Now, this is Build the Perfect Movie. This is our final game. How this works is I'll give you a category. You have to pick two movies from that category whose Rotten Tomatoes score it up to as close to 100 as possible.
Oh, I remember this.
Without going over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Price is Right rules apply. You have to pick two movies. Rotten Tomatoes score as close to 100 as possible without going over. Today, the first category we're going to pick is movies you really like.
Oh, okay.
Two movies you really like each. So you'll each pick one. We'll review the scores, and then you can pick a second movie you like. We'll have Adam start because he's tied.
This is an embarrassing one. I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast or not, but I genuinely like the movie Powder. And I'm gonna guess it's gonna be like a 42.
All right, Powder. Shane.
I am going to say, White Men Can't Jump.
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
You could probably parlay the old and new one together to be close to 100.
If it's a high score, the old one is probably.
Here we go.
Which one of those do you think has a higher score on Rotten?
The old one.
Because there are also less critics back then.
Yeah, that's fair.
Powder, Adam, is a 50%.
Really? So
you're not allowed to use it again, but you need another movie you like that's as close to 50 as possible.
I think I can do that.
White Men Can't Jump, 1992, 75%.
Wow.
So, Shane, you're looking for a 25. Okay. Adam, you'll pick first. You have more to make up.
All right. I'm going to go with a movie in a similar vein that I also liked around that time, which was that John Travolta movie, Michael. Remember
Who
that?
Who are you?
These are
Adam doesn't do two-word movie titles.
I feel like they're the same movie poster almost.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Michael was the one where he had like the movie, wings and shit.
The movie Business.
I'm thinking of Phenomenon.
Those are easily confused movies, and I bet they have a similar
Phenomenon's
thing as
well. Tony Danza kicks field goals for the Eagles and kicks trash?
No, Phenomenon is more where he's more like Powder, but I think it turns into like a fucking brain disease or something.
Yeah.
And then Phenomenon is one where I think he's an angel.
I wish every movie...
Yeah, and Michael's the one where he's an angel.
Michael's an angel, yeah.
I want to do a game where every movie title is rewritten like the trash-picking, field-goal-kicking Philadelphia Phenomenon, where every movie title is what they used to do, what they started doing, and where they're from and how it went over.
Give me an example.
I can't. This is going to take some effort. Yeah. Let's think of I'm trying to think of it for Seven. The notebook writing, person killing.
Oh my God.
Outside Boston serial killer. The box buying, head filling.
Fingerprintless.
Sin loving Boston Bible. Phenomenon.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, you just take it from other people's life, like the actor's life. So you're like, sexual assaultist goop.
Right.
Missouri.
Christmas YouTube maker.
Yeah.
All right, Shane, you're at 50%. Or no, you're at 75. So we need 25 as close to as possible.
I think Michael got more than 50.
I think, I will say, oh, what was it? The Angry Birds movie.
All right. You like the Angry Birds movie?
No. Oh, I got to say one I like.
It's a movie you like.
Oh, then I'll say I'll say Draft Day starring Kevin Costner.
What a immediate pivot. Like, what a
no. I don't really like that movie, but I will watch it if it's on. It's just kind of there.
Here we go. Powder, 50%. Michael, 36%.
Ooh,
that's
bad.
Good position. That's 86. Yeah, that's a pretty good movie you like right there.
I'm curious what Phenomenon got too, but I don't want you to have to do any more work than you need to.
I think I went over.
White Men Can't Jump, 75. Draft Day, 60.
Yeah.
Really?
60%.
Maybe you have better taste than I thought.
Maybe I'm better than I think I is. Actually, Phenomenon is a 49. You would have been a 99%.
Holy shit.
You would have really been worth doing this podcast had you said that.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
No. Yeah.
Well, hey.
Sorry, pal.
I like to make sure. I like to find the downest note we could possibly end this good time on.
Yeah. Well, could we do one more?
You want to do one more?
Yeah.
How about let's see. Category. A movie where a comedian isn't being funny. You got to build the perfect movie where a comedian is in a non-comedy. So, you know what I mean? Like a non-comedy, but they're a big role.
Oh, I thought you meant like physically, like actually being a comedian in the movie.
Oh, trying, but not being funny.
Like punchline.
No. We're trying to build the perfect movie where there's a one of the stars is a comedian, but they're not primarily a comedy.
All right.
So, Adam, you are up first with your first movie here.
All right. And I'll tell you the truth. I actually liked this movie too. Let's go with the number 23. Are we calling Jim Carrey a comedian?
Yeah,
he did stand up.
Yeah, I would call Jim Carrey a comedian.
I know, but yeah, right. I'm gonna go.
I would actually call him maybe the most famous comedian in the world.
He's up there.
Number 23.
Especially for a Canadian.
All right, the number 20. You liked the number? Oh no, we're not talking about movies you liked.
No, we're not. But I remember watching it, thinking, "Oh, this is gonna be a bad one." I like watching bad movies sometimes too, and I think I liked. I personally have weird OCD thing with numbers.
Was it like such a low bar that so you went in and had a nice time?
Yeah, you go in with low expectations, you know, kind of like this podcast. Not really. That was just how you roast your buds.
Yeah, I was hitting the buttons again.
I've done this podcast 96 times. So I don't hate it.
All right, the number 20. Shane, your first non-comedy with a comedian.
I'm going to say 1 hour photo with Robin Williams.
Oh.
All right, here we go. 1 hour photo, 81%.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that 81%. Was good. He was creepy. He was a genuinely funny, scary, kind of creepy.
Yeah, yeah. So you're looking for a 19. You're looking for a bad movie starring a comedian.
How are you going to find one of those?
I don't know. Shit. Too bad the number 23 isn't available because it's 7%.
What?
So you're looking for a 93.
I do have better taste than I thought.
It didn't even get 23%.
7%. That's what happens when you have Mark Pellegrino playing Kyle Flinch.
Okay. All right. You know what I'm gonna do? Oh wait, never mind. I was gonna try to do like an Andy Kaufman the movie, but he's trying to be funny. Well, he's a serious movie.
Man on the Moon is not a comedy.
It's a drama.
Primarily, I would say it's a biopic. It's
Should I pick another comedian or should I just go fucking?
I don't know. I won't tell him either way.
81%.
I bet. So I need a high score. I'm gonna go with. I want to think about it more though. Who's a comedian that fucking was like, I'm gonna do a real thing.
A lot of
that high of a score.
Honestly, a lot of them in good movies.
I can't think of one bigger than Man on the Moon right now. I'm gonna go Man on the Moon.
Okay.
I like this.
Jim Carrey's the only comedian
we're looking for.
A
19. I think Jim Carrey's in a even more serious, even more well received movie than Man on the Moon.
Oh, do you think like the Brain one did better? Eternal Sunshine?
I don't know, though. I haven't even looked at it.
I'm sure it did.
All right, Shane, you go to 81. We're looking for a 19. You look for a bad movie with a comedian.
I'm going
to
go with Adam Sandler in Hotel Rwanda.
He was in Hotel
Rwanda? No.
Rwanda?
I'm going to do...
I looked it up.
I think, okay.
Rwanda is better. Sorry, that's a... You can fucking erase that. I didn't do that.
That's so funny.
It's a bad impression.
There goes my SEO.
Yeah.
I think I got to go comedian in a serious film. I will say...
Even they only have to be the star. You know what I mean? No, I'm just trying to go. This guy's kind of Barkleberger.
Is Robin Williams in Insomnia?
That's David Tell.
Yeah, Robin Williams is in it. Yeah. It's a Christopher Nolan movie, right?
No.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that, but I think I'm way over.
All right. 1 hour photo is an 81. Insomnia is a 92. I think it's like
you're picking like
a
the
massively beloved movie.
Yeah.
Number 23 is a 7. Man on the Moon is a 64. So we got a qualifier for a winner here. I think Eternal Sunshine probably would have got you right around. It's a 92. So once again, you would have been another 99.
Shit.
There we go. I told you we could end on another down note.
Yeah. You won, but
we
could have been
better. We defied the odds again, Kate.
Well, this some is people what we would say we achieved what I normally do.
What we learned in White Men Can't Jump is that sometimes even when you win, you lose. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you remember this big monologue.
Is it like a tax avoidance
thing?
It's
a food that starts with the letter Q, Billy.
That wasn't a bad Wesley.
That was way better.
Thank you for being here, Shane. Thank you for being here, Adam.
Thanks for having me,
Shane, this will be out tomorrow. So go ahead, let everyone know about the special, where to find Waco.
I have a new special coming out called The Blue-Eyed Mexican on December 10th, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern, on YouTube, my channel, as well as Burt Kreischer's. Just type in The Blue-Eyed Mexican, Shane Torres. It'll be up there. Watch it on all your devices at the same time. Trying to generate some heat. Please.
Ooh, there's a some like it heat. There's a before and after.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
There's also
let's not get off my promotion.
Yeah, and we'll have a link to it. I'll have a link to where you can find it in the description of the episode and everything as well, and on the socials for this here throughout the week.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Adam?
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, mine's coming out in January, so watch Shane's first. I know I will. And I got a podcast called Pussy Boys, all Z's for men who love cats. Thank
it's
you.
It's spelled Z-U-Z-Z-Y-Z. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.
That is it for us. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you guys. Just such a great deal. I want to give a shout out to the people on the physical stuff and more tier on Patreon, to Howard and Daniel and Logan and James, Patrick and Heidi, Brand, Devin, Jacob, Matt, Daniel D, Hannah, Jerry Lynn, Brianna, Eric, Trevor Quinn, Jesse, another Eric, Eric S, Lacey, Vanessa, Chris. Thank you all so much. Thank you to everyone who subscribes on there. I appreciate you guys listening. I am sorry to keep bringing up this nerve situation. I'm hoping, even if I have to live with this forever, I can find a more manageable way to do that. But I appreciate you all listening so much. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Have a wonderful day.